85 years after Pluto was discovered by an astronomer from Illinois, the New Horizons space probe is scheduled to fly by Pluto Tuesday and show us what this far-off world looks like. David Leake, the head of the Sterkel Planetarium at Parkland College in Champaign, has been following the mission closely. He talked with me about what we can expect.
Back in 2001, I believe it was, NASA got approved a mission to send a spacecraft out to Pluto. We had surveyed all the other planets, Mercury all the way out through Neptune, and we had never sent anything to Pluto. And so they put this forward, and it actually got approved. So put the mission together. It was launched in 2006, very early in the year. And the interesting thing there is in August of that same year, Pluto became a dwarf planet. So it wasn't even a planet anymore, which is very controversial. But the spacecraft was launched in 2006, and it's taken this long to get out to Pluto. It's going to fly by July 14th, Tuesday morning, just before 7 o'clock. It's going to take a couple of hours to go through the Pluto system. Then it's going to turn its antenna back towards the Earth and phone home for the most part. And given the travel time, like about 5 hours travel time to Pluto, we'll get that signal roughly 8 p.m.
Okay, so we won't really see our images until the next morning.
Probably not till the next morning at minimum. And with the transfer rate of the data from that far away, it will probably be well into 2016 before we get all the data back from the spacecraft.
Oh, wow. All right. So here in Illinois, we have our own reason to be excited about learning more about Pluto. Tell me about Clyde Tombaugh.
Clyde Tombaugh was born in Streeter, Illinois, and some of the textbooks say he was a Kansas farm boy, which is true. Early on in his life, they did move to Burdett, Kansas, but he's an Illinois boy, and Streeter's very, very proud of him. If you go to downtown Streeter, they actually have a mural up in downtown above some of the storefronts that depict his life, and they have plaques about him all over. And please don't go to Streeter and say that Pluto's not a planet. They may usher you out of town very quickly. They're very passionate about that. And in fact, if you check streeter.org, their website, they actually have quite a few activities going on up there. Something like Pluto and polka and pierogies, and there's a lot of interesting things going on. They're celebrating Pluto this entire year.
Fun. So if you want to believe Pluto's still a planet, it's a good place to go.
Yes, you will have lots of allies in Streeter.
And the planetarium here is doing some events too. Right.
Yes, we're very happy to participate in a nationwide effort called Plutopalooza, and a number of events going on. Really, the one to talk about is Tuesday night, July 14th, from 6 to 8:30. Inside our dome, we're going to project the Pluto press conference live on the dome. People say, well, what will we see? I don't know. That's part of the exciting part about it is I'm not really sure what's going to happen. And we also have activities going on in the lobby. We're going to try to do a scale model solar system using toilet paper. And I've made a model of the Pluto-Charon system. Charon is Pluto's largest moon. So 6 to 8:30, it's free, and you don't have to show up at 6 o'clock. It's one of these you can kind of come and go as you please.
Very cool. So I know we don't know exactly what we're going to learn, but what do we hope to learn? And we don't know that much about Pluto yet, right? I've heard a statistic that you could fit it all on a postcard.
That's probably correct. Yeah, I hadn't heard that, but that's probably correct. Yeah, even with the Hubble Space Telescope, you can see some markings on Pluto, but it almost looks like a soccer ball where it's sort of these alternate dark and light markings. And the thing that's interesting about Pluto, people ask, well, why are we doing this? First of all, the whole mission is right around $650 million, and that's everything, to launch it, to build it. This thing is the size of a grand piano. It's really not that big. And if you think, well, that's $650 million is a lot, that's true. But if you look at, you know, the price of one cruise missile, it's actually pretty reasonable. So the thing to keep in mind is this is really a different area of the solar system. We have Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, sort of the rocky planets that are smaller towards the sun. And then you come across what are sometimes still called gas giants, the whole Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. And then there's a whole different area out there that's almost like an asteroid belt, but it's made up of lots of little icy objects. And it was back in the 50s, it was predicted, and it was called the Kuiper Belt. And we found the first Kuiper Belt object back in 1992. And of course, if Pluto, if you go with it being reclassified, we found the first Kuiper Belt object in 1930. But it's really a different area of the solar system. And that's sort of the main thing. It's not so much just Pluto, but that's why the mission's called New Horizons. It's this whole different area.
New Horizons has a lot of different instruments on it, right? So we're looking at like atmosphere, what it's made of, in addition to what
yes.
it looks like.
Yeah, obviously we have cameras, of course, high-definition cameras. It's going to be really interesting to see what kind of detail. But we have spectrometers on there, so we'll actually be able to tell the temperature. We'll be able to tell the composition. There's a student dust counter that some students from, I believe, Colorado actually put together, and they named it the Venetia Birni student dust counter. And Venetia Birni was the 11-year-old in Great Britain who actually named Pluto, came up with the name. So they've named that after her. A number of things we'll actually be looking at, not only before the encounter, but even afterwards. We're going to send some radio signals from the Earth towards the spacecraft. And when the spacecraft passes behind Pluto, will be interesting to see what happens to the radio signals, because that'll tell us a lot about an atmosphere.
Okay. So how did that naming thing work? A schoolgirl named it?
Yeah. The planets all have particular names from like Roman mythology. You know, Jupiter was the king of the gods and so on and so forth. And so the way the story goes is the news came out that this new object had been discovered, and the Venetia Birni's dad said, hey, they've just found this new thing, and she thought we ought to call it Pluto. And he had a friend who was friends, that friend of a friend thing, who was at the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona. And a few phone calls were made, and somebody said, hey, that sounds like a good idea. The guy that predicted that Pluto might be there was Percival Lowell, and he never got to see that. He passed away before the discovery. But Percival Lowell's initials are P.L., and that's the first two letters in Pluto. So Clyde Tombaugh, who made the discovery, was very fond of that. He thought that was a great idea. And so it stuck.
Cool. So what happens to New Horizons after it passes Pluto?
Great question. The mission doesn't end. We're hoping that we'll be able to pass by a few of these other objects that, of course, aren't near as large as Pluto. But this icy asteroid belt out there is called the Kuiper Belt. And Pluto is just one example of an object that's out there. We're hoping to maybe fly by a couple of more of these objects once we get out there. So that's the plan anyway. And we'll get not just data on Pluto, but on, again, this whole third zone of the outer solar system.
Cool. So what does this mission mean for space exploration?
Well, I look at it this way, to say very quickly. The example I use in class is, you know, why are we wasting money on this when we have so many problems here on the Earth? If you think about going home at night and closing your blinds, locking your doors, and never going outside, you don't know very much. You know the inside of your house and that's it. Well, if you open the windows and look out, you learn a little bit. And if you use, say, binoculars or a telescope, you see more details and you learn a little bit more. But think of how much you can learn about your house by going for a walk in the neighborhood. And that's what we're doing. We're going through a walk in the neighborhood. Instead of thinking of the Earth as this isolated system, it's part of a bigger system with all the other planets and comets and asteroids and you name it. And we're learning a lot about where our place, where we live, and, you know, things that could happen to the Earth that could affect us from the outside. We don't have this big shield around us. So the more we learn about the solar system and the Earth being just one data point of many, it kind of shows us our place here.
Hmm. Is there anything else in the works from NASA right now, or is this going to be kind of the end of an era?
Well, obviously everything depends on money.
Right.
Budget is a major thing, but there's a lot of other projects in line. There is a talk of trying to land something on one of Jupiter's moons, Europa, because more and more evidence is coming out that there might be a subsurface ocean there. And so even possibly landing something and trying to do some drilling there on Europa. Of course, Mars is always of great interest. And our rover is still working on Mars. You know, unless something goes wrong, you hardly hear about it in the media, but it's still doing wonderful things there. And, you know, there may be put something else like a sample return mission to Mars to actually bring some of the surface back to our planet so we can analyze it further. So there's always a few things going on. And of course, you just whatever projects get approved and which ones get postponed.
Okay. Very cool. Look forward to seeing it.
Thank you very much.
That's David Leake, director of the Sterkel Planetarium at Parkland College in Champaign. I'm Amanda Hunnick-Fort. Thanks for listening.